Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Beguiled by the Beastly Baron by Y.D. Lamar. Narrated by Hannah Martin and Dan Kelly. Introduction. Dearest reader, May is upon us, and the infamous Monster's Ball has once again arrived for the women and men of the Ton. This author has come upon some fascinating news of a particular baron who's finally made his appearance. No one anticipated his arrival. Rumour has it, the Baron Louis Lockhart was a myth whispered on the lips of ladies as they fantasized what he would be like if he ever made his presence known. The first known rumour of his name was whispered 13 years past, when his invitation was first sent. Much to the Queen's disappointment, the Baron never made any appearance, despite responding to all her missives politely, albeit neutrally. This author expects this May's ball to be full of surprises, to say the least. What does this Baron look like? How old is he? With the assimilation of monster kind into society, we've been privy to many different types. Would the Baron be one from the sea or land, we wonder? Our readers and I will have to wait and see. Our dearest Queen has not acknowledged or mentioned anything of the Baron since the gossip started. Is there a hidden scandal behind his lack of appearance? What is the actual time frame a bachelor is allowed to hold before the Queen insists on proposing a betrothal for him? Does it have anything to do with the abrupt arrival of a Miss Antonio Santos Pereira, who's spent the majority of her life in Brazil, while her father attended to business in London? The coincidence of their mutual arrival has not gone unnoticed by this author. Mr. Pereira was well known for his gambling habits. Gossip has begun to question if Miss Antonia has been secretly ruined, or if her interest did not lean toward the male variety, is a reason for her later age in attending the May season of the ball. Witnesses at the docks have mentioned her masculine behaviour and bold speech, unbefitting of a woman of her station, toward the ship members who saw to her safe arrival. Could this be the reason for her singlehood? The human women of the Ton will be allotted 3 days with monstrous bachelors at the ball. Readers, we anticipate a most titillating and indelicate display this season indeed. This author shall be sure to deliver all the juicy news upon the next publication. Until next time, Lady Grey. Prologue.
Do you not understand? It cannot be done.
The walls rattled. He had no reason to raise his voice at me like this. It was a simple question that required a simple answer.
If you do not do this, I will walk out of here and never look back.
The air around us grew thick and oppressing. Thorny vines crawled from utter nothingness, wrapping around his body as a reflection of his roiling emotions. What once would have scared me no longer held the same power. He could bluff all he wanted, but I knew the truth.
You will not leave this kingdom, Antonia!
Back to my full name, I see. He must really be angry with me. It was necessary. This was necessary. So much had been left unsaid and brushed under the rug. I needed to know where I stood.
Who is going to stop me?
I threw down a challenge I knew I would not win. But I had to try. For the sake of this so-called marriage, I had to try. I will not become the one thing I detested. I refuse.
I stood there with my arms crossed and my head held high, though on the inside I was scared to death of his answer. Vines shot out and broke through the walls as creatures from the darkness invaded our home. Their glowing red and blue eyes wisped around us as their forms took on varying shapes, morphing back and forth constantly, tricking the mind to believe it was insane. But I knew better. I didn't take my eyes off him. I stared right into the depths of his soul, willing him to say the words I needed to hear, the words that would easily keep me by his side, if he would just put down his pride.
"The realm of men will fall," he declared with finality.
I snapped. It was not out of character for me around him, but this time I even scared myself.
"You threaten, and you threaten, yet you refuse to just tell me what I need to hear. Just say it! What are you so scared of?"
I couldn't contain my emotions any longer. It poured out of my soul through the tears that tracked down my cheeks and the way my voice broke with my plea. My lip wavered, and I turned away, unable to face him with such raw emotion, with such vulnerability. I was Antonia Santos Pereira, the woman who lived life the way she chose to. Not this sobbing, pathetic thing standing here now. He had done this to me. He had made me into this. Branches cracked and the buildings started to crumble under the weight of his destruction, his fury. I didn't hear him move. I couldn't hear anything but the racing of my heart pounding in my temples, drowning out the sounds of sobs. My hands clutched at my chest and slowly rose to cover my face from the world. This is not who I am. Strong, inhuman arms wrapped around me from behind, and I jerked away, angry at him, angry at everything that had happened in my life. I was drowning again, unable to come up for air. My knees buckled, but he caught me against his chest tightly, the vines wrapping around us both as he nuzzled his face against the crook of my neck, growling in frustration. The feeling was mutual.
"You torture me with your human frailties. You cannot comprehend."
I dropped my hands from my face and screamed,
"Then help me understand."
Antonia. Dear Miss Antonia Santos Pereira, at the request of your late father's will, and on account of your potential ruined status and age, Her Majesty has hereby ordered you to attend the Monster's Ball to find suitable prospects for your family lineage. As if the death of my father wasn't enough, the missive fell into my hands right after breakfast. Am I not even allowed time to grieve before more obligations fall onto my shoulders?
What are they talking about? Why do I need to attend this ball if I'm the only one left to receive my father's property?
I inquired aloud. What's left of it, anyway? I wasn't sure entirely what my father left behind, or what kind of trouble he found himself in during his stay in London. Nonetheless, it did not make any sense. How many women out there continued their lives without matrimony? My long-time cook, Isabella, gave me a shrug before refilling my favourite coffee cup. It was my mother's favourite. It was all I had left of her. From one patriarchal society to another, societal ideals and structures continued to leave me dumbstruck, though they shouldn't. The thought of this monster's ball I was forced to attend made my insides churn with unease. I was used to being on my own here, used to controlling my daily routines and destiny without the overhanging pressures of a present father. Now, there would be the overhanging presence of a queen in a faraway land I haven't visited since my youth. And why should she care about a random woman in another country? Was there something I was not seeing? A pang of guilt hit me in the chest as if it were a physical thing. I did miss Pi, very much. But the situation his death had thrown me into had become more overwhelming than I initially realized. I was beyond taken by surprise. Why would my status be ruined? I had no scandals. My reputation was clean here in Brazil. Besides the occasional flirtations with the workers and younger men, everyone knew that as the daughter of Senhor Gilberto, I was destined to marry within my station, if that was my choice. And no one here was worthy of my station, according to my father. It was why he left for London to begin with, so I had been told over the years. My late mother's absence took a toll on him, took a toll on us both. As a child, I didn't realize it then, lost in my own grief. I was a young girl without anyone to look up to, without a shoulder to cry on when I stumbled, without the warmth of a bosom when I woke up in the middle of a darkened room plagued by nightmares. My father took a lot of guilt and burdens onto himself during those times, telling me each night that he never wished for me to ever feel the kind of loneliness he did after my mother's passing. He read me stories of knights who slayed dragons and saved princesses, providing them with safety and a loving home. He taught me that a man's place in a woman's heart was of utmost importance, and a man worth anything always made sure to never let her doubt the fact of her position with him, the position of his most sacred treasure to be protected. I was young then, naive enough to believe him. That was until he slowly stopped returning home, leaving me to be raised by the maids and my assigned governess, Teresa. What, then, was he trying to say about my position with him? That I was no longer important enough to be treasured?
You should go and make sure the estate does not land in anyone else's hands, Antonia. It is what your mother would have wanted.
I dropped my cup onto the little porcelain plate a bit louder than necessary, cringing on the inside at the fact that I could have chipped it in my loss of control over my emotions. You never knew my mother, so your assumptions hold no weight here, Teresa, I snapped. I didn't know when it started, but my mother had become a sensitive topic. Despite burying my feelings about it, just one mention of her brought all the pain of not having her around back like a fresh wound. I should be more cautious with my tongue, especially once I leave for London. What other choice do I have? But in this moment, her words stung me in a way I never knew. Who was she to tell me what I should and shouldn't do at the age of 29? Our relationship is no longer what it used to be, because I was no longer that little unsure girl who hoped her father would come back home. I mean no offense, Antonia. You know this. I just wish to guide you in the right direction, since it seems you... I shot up and scooted my chair back with a loud screech, making her wince. I thank you for your unsolicited guidance once again, Teresa. But I will make my own decisions, especially regarding my family affairs. If you wish to continue to be by my side, I remind you of your place now that I am beyond my childhood. I stared at her confidently across the little breakfast table, and she cowered a few inches before catching herself and clearing her throat in an effort to hide it. Societal culture may dictate that, as a woman, I require a chaperone by my side until I am wed, but we both know society cannot keep me strapped to any of their ideals. I leaned in and gave her a wicked smile. London better brace itself for my arrival, because they've never met a woman like me. With that, I turned without waiting for her response and left the breakfast room and proceeded down the hall and into the foyer. I was running away from the truth, I knew it. A coward under the guise of calm, confidence, and knowing. When the only thing I knew was that everything around me was crumbling again. Think of what needs to be done. There's no one else who can do this. All he had was you. Burying my outburst within myself, I let my rational mind control the direction of my thoughts. The sickness that took the late king overseas, the queen's curse, was said to be monstrous in nature. Since his passing, monsters of all types have slowly begun integrating into society and mingling with us like regular citizens. They became the beat monde. On top of my lacking childhood, I was thrown into a world that didn't make any sense. The abrupt changes forced on me weighed heavily on my young mind, and probably played a part in why I never gave much thought to settling down with any male, human or monster. I was barely able to settle my thoughts, let alone navigate growing up in an empty home full of servants. Of course, it didn't mean I was exempt from attraction or blind to the visage of a virile male in his prime. But that was neither here nor there, especially not with what just landed on my plate. The opulent home my father kept me in was nothing but an extravagant gilded cage. From the delicate fabrics my father shipped from who knows where, to the fine porcelain he gained from who knows what. Could it have been an actual purchase? Of course. But the rate at which my father began accumulating these things left me curious. He was never around for me to sate my curiosity. Convenient, that. I passed by a painting of my late mother sitting in front of my father, his hand on her shoulder. I stopped and gazed upon it the way I always did, wondering what my father would have been like if she were still here. This was the only face I could remember of her, if I remembered her at all. "Would you have still left us, Father, to attend to your business overseas?" I guess none of us would ever know. I was the only child left with the Pereira name, the only family member left here in this home. Teresa, bless her soul, along with my father, tried to provide me with all I may need growing up within these walls, from foreign tutors to instruction on proper mannerisms bequeathed to a lady of my station. A slow smile crept across my face, erasing my morose mood. She couldn't contain me once my hormones and stubbornness got the better of me as I entered my later teenage years. Stubbornness was a Pereira trait, I had been told. "Sir, you cannot be here," one of my maids hissed, pulling me from my thoughts. I turned to find Cristiano standing just beyond the front door, slightly dishevelled and panting from exertion.
"I just heard," he admitted with a step toward me.
I frowned. How could he? I just received the missive today. I discreetly looked at my maids who were lingering around the foyer in the shadows. It was no secret that they all took great pleasure watching my many suitors come to my door to try and proposition me during my first few seasons. Against Teresa's advice, I accepted a few of the invitations I had received for the balls held in town. She feared that I was too young, too gullible. She quickly learned how wrong she was when, time and time again, no man was ever able to pin me down with matrimony. Cristiano and I have had our stolen moments, but he knew from the beginning I was content in my life as an unmarried woman. The life my father left behind was all I knew,
one surrounded by strong women who helped pick up the pieces from his constant absence. It wasn't men who held me together this long. Pretending nonchalance, I stared at him. You heard what, exactly? His eyes hardened for a second, the fire of his unbridled lust showing through his eyes, the way it always did, every time he stole a chaste kiss from me when no one was around. When we would both attend balls, just to freely touch one another through dance out in the open. A game we played between us, but it seems he no longer wanted it to be only a game. His tone changed and it piqued my interest.
Don't pretend you do not know what I speak of. When are you leaving?
Fully turning to face him, I crossed my arms and his eyes darted to my modest cleavage that barely peeked over my empire dress, then back to my face. I quirked a knowing eyebrow. What does it matter to you, kind sir, what happens with my family affairs? I should question how you came about this knowledge, when I've only received the missive this morning myself. Pulling my attention away from him, I turned my head slowly to look at my maids, who all suddenly pretended to be cleaning the surrounding areas intently, though I knew for a fact this foyer was spotless. It seemed gossip flew fast in this home, not to my surprise.
Antonia, I do not want you to travel alone. Let me accompany you to keep you safe.
Emesmo. Oh, really? Christiana was anything but a chivalrous knight. I scoffed under my breath. The same way you've kept me safe from you. Cristiano's extended hand jerked back as if scalded by boiling water. Gasps could be heard in the background, but I ignored them. The scowl on his face proved that my words cut as deeply as they should. I needed him to put an end to this little chase of his. He knew from the beginning that all I had to offer were flirtations and nothing more. I didn't have time to entertain such foolish notions like love, especially not now. The failing of men, I found over my adulthood, lay solely upon the simple fact that their eyes were inclined to wander the moment they felt that the vanity of beauty was fading. After all, many of these husbands at prior balls had cast looks my way when they thought their wives wouldn't notice. Not that I felt anything close to love with Cristiano. Men were all the same. They enjoyed the chase the same way they enjoyed hunting deer. But once the chase was won, what was left? I was no one's prey to be felled in this lifetime. The silence was heavy. I must have rendered him speechless. I was not known to be this callous between us, but things have changed. Things always change. I thank you for your visit, Cristiano, but I must ask that you take your leave. There are things to be done and important decisions to be made. Dabom, do you agree? Perhaps we will cross paths another time upon my return. He stared at me with disdain, and something else I could not identify and did not care to. He could wallow in his hurt pride. He knew just as well as anyone else that a woman's reputation was all we had to barter with.
Arigato, thank you, my lady. He gritted through his teeth and bowed.
His demeanor closed off. Good.
I hope you have a good trip.
I plastered a kind smile on my face to soften the blow. I thank you for your kind wishes, sir. And like that, our connection was severed with my coldness. It was the part of my personality that brought the younger men to my door in challenge. I grew tired of these cultural games, the walls of my heart thickening with the years that passed me by. My tongue became a weapon of choice, while I kept my dresses pristine and presentable to the world who wanted nothing but to tear down a woman who chose to live life on her own terms. Watching Cristiano turn to leave, I cut a glare at my maids, and they scuttled away into different rooms. The constricted life we led here left room for drama and scandal, as if the uprisings in Rio de Janeiro weren't enough to keep gossiping mouths to themselves. Listening to Cristiano's manner of walking as he left my home, I let out a sigh. Maybe it was the perfect time for me to take a break from all this. Take the Queen up on her firm request for me to attend the Monster's Ball. After all, many humans had already labelled all my seasons a failure in their eyes. My mind drifted back to the missive I received this morning, as I made my way toward the back courtyard for a turn around the garden for mental clarity. Her Majesty has hereby ordered you to attend the Monster's Ball to find suitable prospects for your family lineage. I laughed under my breath. Who wouldn't be in want of a monster for a groom when all human options had labelled me a spinster and a potential lady of ill repute? Antonia. I barely survived the sea. Teresa barely survived getting on the ship, being surrounded by human men who became more ripe than they should have the longer they baked under the sun. I won't be consuming fish ever again, Teresa gagged dramatically as she croaked out her declaration. Yes, well, I have a strange feeling we won't be seeing home again at this point. It seems we're both done with ships for the rest of our lives. The trip left a bad taste in my mouth. Not only was the food wretched, but the ship's crew members were uncouth. If it wasn't for my stubborn streak and sharp tongue, we probably wouldn't have made it to our destination. And of course, Coin was a convincing friend. Thank you, Father, for that. Well, I couldn't ignore the fact that a certain monster, who hailed from a kingdom beneath the sea, helped to keep the wayward men at bay when they became under the influence of fermented drink. I offered him Coin for his services, but he declined and informed me that his integrity could not be bought. Sir, I do insist. His webbed fingers halted mine, and my eyes snapped to his. His face was an interesting mix of fish and man, with long, thin fins from his head instead of hair. His skin was covered with smooth, supple scales. I tried my best to not be rude in staring, but I couldn't help it. His audacity to touch me also intrigued me. I wondered if his kind had to put up with silly societal rules such as ours on land. Madame, I assure you it was nothing. Any one of my people would have done the same. Some of these human males need to understand the importance of protecting females, lest they run into the same problem we have. I cinched up my purse and handed it back to Teresa, who openly stared at the aquatic gentleman with wide eyes. What problem would that be, may I ask? To my surprise, he leaned in quickly, bringing himself nose to nose, making any words I had lodge in my throat with his brash behaviour. I had never been so easily flustered as I was at that very moment. The dwindling numbers of heart song matings. It's precisely why I'm heading to the same location you are, I presume. There seems to be a certain ball that's come around. Oh. Will luck allow me another meeting with beauty such as yourself at the Monster's Ball? Teresa clutched my arm, ending my strange daydream of the stranger, as the carriage continued to take us down the rough cobbled road. We can't possibly stay here, she declared. We need to complete our task, handle your father's estates, and make preparations for our return home. I quirked an eyebrow up and gave her silence without looking at her, letting her mentally imagine the trip back overseas.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?